Hey everyone, this is another episode of On.net, and today I'm in the studio with my good friend Brett. Hi Brett.
Hello.
I've wanted to have you on the show for a while.
Yeah?
You've been doing .net forever.
Yes, a long time.
Like, from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So usually on the show we have people who make components and build stuff that people can reuse, but your perspective is interesting. It's really the perspective of somebody who has been doing .NET for a very long time from the beginning and has seen all the evolution. And today you are here for the Build Conference.
Yeah, I've been coming to Build for a long time. It used to be called the Microsoft Professional Developer Conference.
Yeah, PDC.
Yeah, and my first was 93, and it was in Long Beach. And I was living in San Francisco at the time, and it was my big trip to LA. Yeah. I hadn't really been in LA that much. And I remember, and Bill Gates and Microsoft, they rented out Disneyland to the entire conference. So that was kind of exciting. So yeah, I've been coming to Build since then.
Yeah, I remember PDCs where they had rented the whole Universal Studios as well.
Maybe another year. Yeah. But 93, I believe, was Disneyland, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I always like to come, and it's been in San Francisco the last few years. I love coming up to Seattle and seeing it here and getting to see you. And yeah, it's been a great conference so far.
Yeah, what was particularly impressive in what you've seen?
Nothing. There wasn't like a moment during the conference that was kind of a surprise. But a lot of just great incremental progress with Azure, with AI, with the bots. And then with Windows 10, today was exciting just to see some of the direction kind of where Windows 10 is going. I like to see they're spending a lot of time on creators, and that's why they're calling it the creators update and then the fall creators update. The demo they gave with the photos and the videos compilation, the mixing of all that, really nice.
Yeah.
And I like the UI. They've kind of gone back and simplified it, and I think it's simple enough where power users can use it and beginners can use it. So I like the UI pattern that seems to be the way that Microsoft's going there. The .NET progress with Core, I mean, you're a big part of that. I think everybody loves. I think there was a lot of applause during the Core stuff. The moment that the woman with Parkinson's, they showed.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Right? That was unbelievable.
Man. Yeah.
I mean, that's tangible. That's really showing Microsoft making an effort, making people's lives better. I really like that. And then when she came on stage, that was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
I got the chills.
It's one of those moments where you feel like, yeah, doing software is not just, you know, being a geek in a basement, you know, writing code. It's really about, you know, changing the world.
And yeah.
That was very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? You know what? The virtual reality stuff. They're calling it mixed reality now, right? So you've got HoloLens, which is augmented reality. And then you've got this immersive state where you're wearing full visual goggles and headphones. So that's virtual. But Microsoft's using the term mixed, which I think is kind of nice because it's... and then, you know, I did a demo today where they move the floor so your feet are feeling that sensation. And yeah, it was called The Ledge. And you're standing.
Okay, so do tell me about that because I haven't
don't,
seen
don't
that.
Spoil it or do
no,
tell
no do tell,
tell,
do tell.
You are standing on a virtual scaffolding, but it's a physical scaffolding, so you're actually standing on like a moving scaffolding that would go up on the side of a building, and you're wearing the goggles, completely immersed, and headphones, and you go up a building and then you look around. It feels like you're standing on the edge of a building, and then you take a physical step forward and you literally are. It's to simulate you falling off the scaffolding. And it was funny watching people do it because they were hesitant to walk off.
Yeah.
When I got up there...
They knew. Their brains knew.
Their brains knew. Well, their brains felt like they were up on a height. Now, yeah. I knew it wasn't real. Uh-huh. So I didn't get... I didn't have that sensation, unfortunately. It probably would have been better had I not seen other people do it. So I didn't have any fear. I just stepped and, okay, you fall down. Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Nice.
$300 for the developer's preview for those...
For a full VR headset?
Yeah.
With the controllers?
With two controllers.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of potential there, and to write in .NET Core and C Sharp, F Sharp, and pull all that together. It's gonna be fun to try that stuff. I'm definitely
At this price point, it's becoming really compelling.
Yeah, and they're gonna make it available to the general public by this holiday. So
wow,
I don't know what the price will be for them, but
probably comparable.
Yeah,
usually
dev
kits are.
That's great. Yeah, I think with HoloLens, what do you know? I mean, is HoloLens gonna come out as a consumer device anytime soon, or?
I don't think so. I don't know. I know nothing about it because that's a completely different team, but I would assume that it would probably remain mostly a professional headset.
Yeah, I think they're trying to build...
It's kind of high-end.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would expect more, less mixed reality and more virtual reality to be the accessible first step for people. But then again, I'm wondering if a good way of having something both affordable and mixed reality would be to have cameras on the headset that would then be mixed into the instead of superimposing because I'm guessing that a big problem with those with a headset such as the HoloLens is that it should be fairly difficult to make objects feel solid on something that is basically transparent, right? So the amount of light they have to get in there, I don't know. It feels like getting the input through cameras and then adding the virtual stuff on top of it and then just giving that to you on a classical VR double screen, that would be easier. I don't know.
I don't know.
I know nothing about that. I'm just conjecturing.
I think Microsoft's doing the right thing by not rushing out a product that's not ready.
I'm working with partners, all that stuff. I think it's a really good
challenge. I think there's no hurry. I think that you build slow and steady.
As far as .NET is concerned, I would expect this to be... I would expect to be able to program that in .NET like HoloLens, right?
Yeah.
With HoloLens, I mean, it's UWP.
Yeah.
It's an application. And
yeah, I'm definitely going to give it a try.
Yeah.
So the conference in general, the sessions have been great, and just seeing people that you get to see that you haven't seen for a while and talking, it's fun.
Yeah, the conferences are about the people, right?
Yeah.
More than the sessions. Okay, so why don't you tell us about some of the projects you've been building with .NET over the years? What was your first .NET project?
Wow, first .NET was probably, it was not really called .NET back. What was it called in like 93 to 98? We were using MFC classes, C++.
Yeah.
And C Sharp didn't come in until...
C Sharp came out at the same time as .NET.
Yeah.
It was called Project Core before, but nobody had access to it. I wasn't even at Microsoft at the time.
I think one of my first times I had was hands-on with .NET was I was consulting at pets.com and they were running an early version of ASP.NET. Mm. It was called ASP Pages, right, back then?
Well,
or ASP.
Well, before ASP.NET, there was ASP.
Yeah,
it had nothing to do with .NET.
Right.
It was closer to PHP, actually, in model. And you could code in VB or... JavaScript, you could actually code in JavaScript in there.
Right. I was consulting at pets.com and they had a problem where the shopping cart was crashing every 2 hours and they had to restart IIS. Yeah. It was probably IIS 2 or 3 back then. And I came in and fixed a bug to not crash every 2 hours. I basically and it turned out to be like some strange database close that wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. And I found it and fixed it and it was a big moment of celebration.
That was before .NET, right?
That was, I guess, before.
So that couldn't have been your first .NET.
Yeah, some I think you know what it must be to flash forward to 2003.
Yeah.
That's when I founded my e-commerce company, One Step Internet, which is where I ended up meeting you. So in 2003 You know, I started with line one of code to build a shopping cart, to build a whole e-commerce platform, C Sharp, .NET, whatever version it was back then.
Okay, so
yeah.
Yeah, do tell us about One Stop, because it's a pretty interesting story. How did that start? It's the proverbial startup in a garage, right?
It started in my garage, yeah. I had a friend named Steve Tanberg, and he knew somebody at Von Dutch. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Von Dutch? They had the trucker hat. All the celebrities were wearing them, like Paris Hilton, Ashton Kutcher, Leo DiCaprio, Britney Spears. They were all wearing this trucker hat, and it was getting a lot of traction. And my friend knew the marketing person there and said, hey, do you want to build, they need help with their shopping cart. They want to go online. And I was just about to take another job as a VP of engineering at kind of a boring company. I wasn't that excited about it. I was just about to take it. And he said, you know, this will be more fun. You should try this. So I did it. I said, all right, let's do it. And so I worked out of my garage. He worked out of his house. And we started the company, and VonDutch.com blew up. So we were doing full service e-commerce. So at first it was just the website, shopping cart, checkout, and we did product photography. We didn't do fulfillment. But then we saw they were so busy doing their retail fulfillment that they couldn't do the website. It was a second class citizen. So Steve said, you know what, we gotta take over the fulfillment. So Steve moved himself into the warehouse. I stayed at home writing all the software. He moved into the warehouse and basically took over the fulfillment for VonDutch.com. And it was just the two of us, and then we had a designer, Kuna, the first year, and then we just grew like crazy. And it was all, I wrote all the code. I didn't have any help. It was just, you know, everything.
Yeah.
The order management system, the inventory system, the workflow for getting photos online.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote some tools for that. It was all .NET.
So
C-sharp.
Once you had the whole pipeline, you just had to get more customers. And
Well, then a year later, we added a third founder, John.
So
he got us sales to replicate Von Dutch to the next one.
Yeah. So one of the focuses of the company is fashion, right? It's mostly fashion brands.
Yeah. Over the years, I mean, the company's now 14 years old. Most of the brands are apparel. We've done Camelback backpack, water backpacks.
Yeah.
That's kind of an apparel.
Yeah.
We've done some beauty and some like soaps and candles and things like that, but mostly clothing.
Yeah.
And you know, True Religion was a big client for us. Lululemon, which is a huge, you know, yoga lifestyle sports brand. We ran their website for the first couple years they were online. And we had moments where some of our brands would be on Oprah's Favorite Things, and they warned us. They said, you're going to get a lot of traffic. I said, yeah, we're ready. The guy from ABC called me. He said, you're going to get a lot of traffic. We're ready. No, you don't understand. You're going to get a lot of traffic. We're ready. He said, no, tell me how you're ready. And I had to explain to him how we were ready. And those are some fun moments just to watch the traffic spike up and, and the warehouse just start packing like crazy. It was a great experience. You know, we grew from, you know, the first year we had maybe 5 employees total in the first year, and then today, you know, over 150.
Wow.
It's been fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you built all that on .NET.
On .NET. Yeah, everything.
And custom code.
Custom code, everything. And then, well, if you remember when we met, it was 2010 or 2011. I think it was 2010. Around there. So if you remember, we were having, everything was custom. So the problem with that was we didn't have a management system. So if you wanted to change the homepage or anything, you had to go through the engineering department. And so it wouldn't be as fast. And our customers had higher expectations. You know, the first few years that was okay, but then customers had higher expectations for being able to change content. So I looked around for what is a good CMS that I could kind of integrate into a shopping cart or order management system.
Yeah, because the commerce part you wanted to keep in-house because you had, you know, your own rules and
we had promo codes
and a lot of business logic that was that you had built over the years, and that was working great.
It was working great, and it was already done.
But it was really about the content management part of the house that didn't scale.
Right. Yeah. So having to go through engineering was not going to be sustainable for us. So I looked at different CMSs. We looked at WordPress. You know, we looked at Drupal. We looked at .NET, what's the .NET CMS?
.NET Nuke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we looked at them. And then I stumbled across Orchard. And I thought, wow, this is perfect. It's open source. It's modern, meaning they were keeping up with .NET. And it came from Microsoft, and you were a principal on there, and Sebastian Ross you guys were the leaders, and I ended up reaching out to you, and we became friends ever since, right?
Yeah.
You flew down to LA and met with us and kind of explained how Orchard worked, and we got super excited about it. And then so the next 4 years of my life, I spent as an Orchard kind of architect developer guy, and I had a great time with that.
Yeah, and I think it was really interesting both for Orchard and for OneStop that whole period, because the cross-pollinating was fantastic. You guys were contributing a lot of code, and a lot of code that you needed. You needed additional modules, and you paid some really good money to develop those modules, and the company was gracious enough to actually contribute back some of that code that made sense for the general Orchard audience. So that's really, I think, a very good example of a very healthy relationship between an open source project and a commercial company.
That was definitely great. I mean, we would try and build functionality where I thought, okay, this isn't specific just to OneStop, so we should open source this one.
Yeah.
And then ones that were kind of very complicated and unique to our business, they didn't make sense to open source.
Yeah.
We were happy to do that.
Where it made sense, it was very, very productive. And, you know, it's not that classical structure where you have an open source company building service around an open source project, right?
Right.
It really is about production code that is useful to a company that has a priori nothing to do with the with the project.
Right.
So
That was a great example of that.
I think it's something that I would like to see more in the ecosystem. I think it's very, very, very healthy. So
That was fun.
Yeah,
I miss. I don't use Orchard anymore on a day-to-day basis. So.
You're not at OneStop.
No. I left the company operationally. I'm still on the board of directors. I'm still, connected to it. It'll always be the company I started. Yeah. But no, I'm not there every day anymore.
Can we talk about your next employer or
my what?
The one you had after OneStop.
Oh. That was
tell me no if you don't want to talk about it.
No, I'll talk about it. That was a startup that didn't end up succeeding. I wasn't the founder of that one. I was the chief technology officer.
Yeah.
And we were building a social entertainment hybrid app and service, kind of like Spotify meets Facebook. Very ambitious. We had music industry people very excited about it. And then we used Xamarin. So we started building
Because the mobile app was a very, very important component of
the mobile app was it was going to be a very much a consumer play worldwide too. We were trying to design for an international audience, so we had language, we were localizing it from the beginning, and then scale. I mean, we were talking massive scale, so we built the database was actually Cassandra.
So why did you choose Xamarin?
Because I felt we'd get more code reuse, because I knew I knew we wanted to build an Android and iOS at the same time.
Yeah.
So rather than have, different sets of developers, I wanted a unified system. So I wanted code reuse. Mm-hmm. And it was C#, which I love and I think is a great language. So that's where we went with Xamarin. And then Azure, we needed auto-scaling, and they were able to host Cassandra and Node.js pretty well. So it went with Azure. That one didn't work out. Not all startups make it. But you learn a lot from it.
It's that's startups. They don't all succeed.
Yeah.
You had a pretty good rate.
I had a pretty
good
run.
As far as startups go.
You know what? Going back, if we could talk about another company I did start, that was all Microsoft technology. My co-founder was a former Microsoft employee. Actually, he worked on the Access team, Carlos Blanco. He and I started a photo sharing website called eMemories.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was in '98. So again, that was ASP. Mm. I want to make sure I get the terms right.
Active server pages.
It was active server pages and VB. Yeah. It was a VB component. We had a VB DLL that we put into the ASP context. Yeah. But that was photo sharing. Look what happened with photo sharing. It's the biggest, it's the most used app in the world, sharing photos. And we had the idea back in 98. So the company was eMemories, and you could upload your photos, you could create albums, you could share, you can comment. 1998, this company was started. Before Facebook, before Flickr, before, you know, everybody. A little bit too early. People are still shooting film, and we were converting their film to digital. That was all Microsoft Tech, and that first server was in my house on the carpet.
You still have that server, right?
I still have that server. Yeah. It's in my house in an enshrined case. You've seen it.
It's a big compact.
It's a compact. Well, the story behind that is the first investor, I came to his office for a meeting, and I said, hey, he said, do you need anything? I said, you know what? I need a server right now. The server we have is not working. I need a server. And he looks around and he says, take that one. And so it was just a machine sitting on the floor. And I grabbed it, and that ended up being the eMemory server for the first 6 months of the company.
I think the company I was working for at about the same time had the same sort of practices when selecting servers. It was basically machines we were building ourselves and, you know, just putting there and connecting to the internet. So you did also work for a company that is oftentimes in the news, and that's a pretty sexy company, right?
Yeah, I did. I worked for SpaceX for a short time.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. It was a great experience.
So you contributed in sending stuff into space.
Yeah, yeah.
How cool is that?
It was neat. I can't say I take credit for the software that runs on the rocket.
You contributed.
Yeah, it was part of it. It was a great experience.
So SpaceX runs on Microsoft software?
Yeah, a good chunk of it does. SpaceX has their own ERP system. It's called Warp Drive. Warp Drive is completely on Microsoft Tech. IIS, ASP, C Sharp. Yeah.
Hold on. SpaceX runs on .NET.
SpaceX manufacturing software, the software that, so the shop floor, the people that are assembling the rockets. Yeah,
that manages that whole floor
that
I had the privilege to visit. It's a very impressive place.
Yeah.
Where you see the rockets being assembled and those huge cylinders that we are sending. How awesome is it that we are sending such big objects into space?
I know. It is awesome. I mean, you know, Elon Musk is he's just made it happen just by sheer will. And that company is doing amazing.
It's very impressive.
It's great. And the launch cadence is just increasing every year. So they're building more rockets. You know, they're reusing them, but they still have procedures for reconditioning those rockets so they're ready to go up again. And all of that flows through Warp. So all those steps that the technicians have to follow through, they're all in a custom ASP.
Yeah, all the parts.
All the parts. There's so many parts and where they came from and tracing them throughout the pipeline of their origin to arriving in certain places throughout the SpaceX factories to, you know, being mounted and lifted onto the rocket stand.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had the chance of going to the SpaceX factory and giving the team the latest on .NET. That was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, everyone on that team is very kind of dedicated to building high quality code and improving and updating. So there's a bunch of SpaceX people here at the conference too. And, you know, last year I brought a bunch of them. They're definitely very keen on keeping things updated and fast.
Nice.
The rocket itself is built in C++, not really Microsoft.
I would expect that the constraints on that would be very different.
They take testing to a new level. It is rocket science what they do.
It's rocket science. It's one of those cases where you can actually say it and it's not metaphorical. It is rocket science.
Yeah, that software is very interesting as well. I mean, especially when you think about the landing and the number of calculations that have to go into the engines.
Do you know about that that time where an Ariane rocket blew up because of an integer overflow?
Wow. Yeah, that's not good.
No. Those things happen.
Yeah. Boundary checking.
They happen in particular in C++.
And the warp team is all C sharp.
And after that?
Now I'm consulting. There's a company, Calibri Group, and it's a private equity firm, and they rolled up a bunch of continuing education companies. So if somebody wants to get their real estate license, appraisal, nursing, plumbing, so anything that that you have to get certified for. So we do test prep, practice tests, financial tests, stockbroker. So we have a suite of websites where people can take tests, order tests, go to offline seminars, and they hired me to bring mobile to their platform.
Okay, and you're building it with what set of tools?
Building it with Ionic, Angular. Okay. Yeah, and the back end is .NET actually. And that back end is kind of maybe ASP.NET 4.6, and they're moving it all to .NET Core.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so there's a team, again, very forward-thinking. They like upgrading, and they're moving everything to .NET Core now. And they're using just the built-in web API.
Right.
So they're converting service stack to kind of a more simple endpoint. And then and I'm doing the front-end stuff. So everything is Ionic and Angular, and I love it. It is really a great product.
What do you love about it? What's great?
What's great? I think the cycle, the editing, saving, seeing your work reflected immediately like
that. Yeah, without even refreshing.
Without refreshing.
Being able to rewind state and stuff like that.
Yeah, and just the speed of the web. I mean, hybrid apps, I think, got a bad rap a few years ago, but now, because the phones have gotten so much faster, that hybrid apps are actually coming back. So web apps that are built on web technologies, I think, are the way back.
So like Cordova, but...
Yeah, well, Ionic's on top of Cordova.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it is. It's completely on top of Cordova. Cordova
is... Behind on those technologies, I need to catch up.
Yeah, it's hard to catch. I mean, there's React.
So when you've used Xamarin before.
What's
different?
I think just because web technologies are a little bit more ubiquitous, especially the layout parts of it, like CSS, SCSS, getting things aligned right and looking right on all platforms is easier to do with web technologies than with Xamarin, XAML. I know that they're making progress there, but...
Interesting.
Yeah.
So something to focus on the Xamarin side then.
I think, you know... Yeah, I just wanted to try Ionic, and I was really impressed with it, so I went with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and Angular, too. And Angular's great.
Yeah.
And Angular, I just said Angular 2. I meant, I said it, the number 2, but there's also Angular T-O-O. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Angular is on 4.21 as of today. 4.12. Yeah, 4.12 as of today. And Angular's improved a lot. It used to, the learning curve on Angular used to be quite high. And it's pretty easy to use now.
Do you TypeScript or?
I love TypeScript.
Oh, okay.
I love TypeScript. I feel when I'm in TypeScript, it feels like C sharp, and that's a compliment. And I turn linting on, very strict linting.
Yeah.
So all sorts of warnings pop up if you don't write really, really good type safe code, declare everything. I know that some JavaScript purists hate strict linting, but I love it.
First time I hear that. Why?
Well, because they like just declaring everything as any or
no,
not
but
declaring
types. You said purist. I would think that purists would actually turn things as strict as possible.
Oh, no. I mean people who love JavaScript and are skeptical of TypeScript. They would not. And let's say those people, you got them to use TypeScript. If you turned on strict linting for them, they would be unhappy.
I see.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I really like TypeScript though. My whole career, I've always tried to figure out ways to leverage existing frameworks and write less code. So with Ionic and with Angular and with TypeScript to a large extent, you are apps that comprise that are the net result and the finalized products for these mobile applications are much less code to maintain than in years past. Also, we have 100% test coverage right now in the project I'm working on. Yeah.
Nice.
It's hard to do. So we carve out, I'd probably guess, we pad our development cycles probably by about 30% to cover writing tests.
Mm.
And I look at it like when you're writing tests, you're writing code. So it's not something that you shouldn't want to do. If you like writing code, you will like writing tests. That's the way I kind of position it to my team and how I look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we try and do TDD as well. We do. We write tests with nothing in them, and then we put in a little bit, and then we make it fail, and then we make it work. And I really like that kind of that pattern.
Cool.
It works.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Do you want to show
a
one-stop site?
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah, this is the sort of site that you are building.
Yeah.
And it's what I liked about what OneStop was doing, I still do, is how the focus was always on modern design.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, we're dealing with very particular brands.
Exactly.
Their brand image
is customers very important.
Yeah. Yeah, the brand image is important, and so the design is important to them, and we work with them on, sometimes we'll hire agencies, sometimes we'll use our in-house designers, sometimes they'll contribute their designers. It's a collaboration. But the engine behind it is all Orchard today.
Mm.
Everything you're clicking is an Orchard, you know, content type.
Yeah.
You were involved in developing some of this yourself.
Yeah, GIS proof. Where is it? Here.
There you go, Orchard.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, we've definitely pushed the limits of Orchard with our e-commerce demands as far as...
Yeah, so one of the things, because those designs are so modern and need to be so malleable, we had to do a lot of work together on dynamic layouts where the customer can actually build their own layouts.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big effort that eventually led to the Orchard features that we have today.
Yep.
Where you can build your page dynamically from the admin UI, which is really neat. So
yeah, it was nice to finally have a dashboard into a lot of the sites, so our customers could go in there and change
mm-hmm.
things. That was a big moment when we were able to deliver that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Brett.
Thank you. Anytime. Pleasure to be here.
All right. Bye, everyone. This was another episode of On.net.
All right. Bye.